This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, and as always, you can join us here. The number, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's Ian.
Nobody.
And Kurt.
Whoever you are.
And Chris.
Oh, hey, Chris.
Am I on?
You are on.
Oh, it must be my headphones.
Yeah. I can turn you up on that here. Hang on a second. That'll help.
I thought you'd forgotten.
No, I thought it was off.
You should be better now.
Muted. Yeah.
Better now?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, cool. So open phones as always. I actually want to pick up a topic from last night. We're going to get into some interesting tech news that you've got about an internet service provider that's been ordered to block certain types of services, and we'll get into that in a little while. But there was a story that we were discussing last night, nobody, about Dr. Carl Hart. Now, this is the author of the new book, Drug Use for Grown-Ups. We had started a story. Normally, we don't carry over from one night to the next the same topic. Mm-hmm. But I thought this was such an interesting interview and an interesting perspective that I did want to share that with. I wanted to share more of this with our audience. So just to bring you up to speed, Dr. Carl Hart, he is a professor. And I believe it's Columbia University. Yeah, Columbia University. He's a neuroscientist. He's done studies involving why it is that people use drugs. What is it that drives people to do them? And he's got a lot of experience in this particular field, which is, you know, why he wrote a book about it recently. And again, the book just published, Drug Use for Grown-Ups, Chasing Liberty in the Land of Fear. This interview is over at Vox.com, written by Sean Illing. We read the first couple of questions last night, but we started it kind of toward the end of the show.
I mean, isn't this obvious? It makes you happy, right? It makes you feel good.
Well, yeah, but some people believe that the drugs themselves are like addictive, and really the reality of it, according to Carl Hart, as I understand his perspective, is that it's these people that have really bad lives. They really hate their lives, and they want to escape from them. That's ultimately what drives them to use these things. So, but there's a lot of misinformation, a lot of misunderstanding in the world of drugs, and people looking at it from the outside that don't really know, you know, what they're looking at. And so I wanted to share some of his answers to these questions in this interview.
I would like to add, it's not necessarily people with objectively bad lives, but each one of us has a different body chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us, like major depressives, are pre-programmed just not to be happy. So even if their life is looking good from the outside,
they can't see it.
They may be in a lot of pain on the inside. You never know what battle somebody else is fighting.
You know what's funny is I can see this from the other side. I'm always happy. Like, I mean, that's probably an exaggeration, but like, I'm always happy compared to certain other people in my life.
You might be a sociopath, actually, if you're always happy.
Well, I mean,
that's not a good sign.
Maybe not. I didn't say always, but almost always happy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, even when things should kind of make you down, like, bring you down, I'm usually not that down. It's like, oh, there's been one or two occasions in my life where I've been like depressed, but it's like
you can make an effort to be more positive. You can make an effort to, you know, see things, look on the bright side.
Yeah.
And some people don't make that effort, or they don't believe that they can, or they believe that there's a chemical imbalance in their bodies, and that, you know, they've been told this story their whole lives about that, and they've come to believe it. So I think a lot of it is your mindset,
yeah,
and how you approach things.
I think that's true as well. And one of the interesting things, because I don't necessarily believe the same things about alcoholism that I believed when I was going to AA, but what I do know is that it worked very well for a lot of people. It
AA
worked for everybody.
AA but, did?
AA did. And so, you know, I've been trying to think about what did AA have that worked, as opposed to, you know, the garnish that was just there on the plate, but it wasn't good for anything. I think the big thing that AA does is it provides you with a circle of humans who, A, might have better judgment than your parents in a lot of cases. If you came from a messed up home, you know, they might well be able to straighten out some misconceptions you've got about life. And also, they're relentlessly positive and relentlessly positive about you and wanting you to succeed.
That can be infectious, right? Yes. If, you know, the old rule that the people you associate with, people you hang out with, will either bring you up or bring you down. If you hang out with a bunch of sad, depressed, poor people all the time, don't be surprised if you start going in that direction. If you hang out with people who are constantly positive, whether they be wealthy or not, you're going to have a more positive outlook.
And this is kind of like why people, you know, they change their environment, like when things aren't going well, right? And it doesn't matter whether it's you lost your job or, you know, you're in a not such a great situation because your partner is, I don't know, abusing you or whatever it is. You get up, you move. Or maybe you got out of jail. You don't move back to where you were living before. You move somewhere else.
But the problem is wherever you go, there you are. And so a lot of the people who move, they think that's going to solve all their problems.
It won't. But it can be a start. Especially when other people are dragging it down.
But the thing is, you have to see it as a start and to change your habits, because if you move somewhere and you don't change anything about, you know, what you believe or
it has to come from you. It can't come from somebody else telling you to do that.
The only thing that the move gives you is it puts you in a new setting.
Correct.
Where you don't have the hangover, like, you know, you don't have a bunch of people who have a bad impression of you because of your previous life.
And that's important.
What moving can give you.
Yeah, that's important.
If you just move and don't change your behavior, then you're right. You'll end up right back where you
were. You will recreate all the old bad, you know, it'll be a different set of relationships, it'll be a different set of people, but you'll attract to you all the bad types of people you had around you before.
You know what's kind of interesting is, even if you have it well, that can still be a good thing, you know, changing pace and changing your life around. Because you can change it, even if your life is good, you can still change it for the better, potentially.
For sure.
You could always, you know, move to New Hampshire.
That's exactly what I did, right? And
we
didn't have it that bad in, I mean, maybe the government, I had it bad in terms of government, but I didn't have it that bad in New Jersey.
Did you just celebrate 5 years?
I did, yeah.
Congratulations.
March.
Yep. That's awesome. Oh,
I'm sorry, not yet, but March 12, 2016.
Very cool. Yeah. So coming up in less than a month, then. Congratulations.
Oh, and you know who else has a birthday coming up?
Nope.
2 years, two weeks to flatten the curve as a birthday coming up.
How's that going? So let's get back into this interview, because I think it's a really interesting discussion. Carl Hart, again, he is a neuroscientist, I think it was. Yeah, neuroscientist and professor of psychology at Columbia University. So this is the interview at Vox.com where he is being interviewed by Sean Illing. And Sean says, let's see, you wrote this book for a lot of reasons, but one of them is that you're very unhappy with the way we talk about drugs and addiction in this country. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm sorry, we read this one last night. Here's the next one. So let's talk about what you consider the confusion around drugs. People often, and I've done this in my own reporting, draw distinctions between different drugs. We'll put drugs like heroin or meth in one box, and we'll put something like psilocybin, which is magic mushrooms, and other psychedelics in another box. And
you've got to keep them in different boxes. If you get them all mixed up, you're going to have a bad time.
He says the conventional wisdom is that the latter class of drugs are safer, and that is less addictive, and therefore fundamentally different from the former class of drugs. Now, you say this is a BS move, and there's no evidence to justify it. Can you explain why? So, Carl Hart says, when some people take psilocybin, they're seeking to alter their consciousness some way for some purpose. Typically, the users of psilocybin are middle class or higher, they're well educated, and their use of the English language is more sophisticated than the typical heroin user. And what you'll often hear from psychedelic enthusiasts is a lot of lofty talk about seeking higher planes of consciousness or religious transcendence or whatever. But here's the thing. A person doing heroin is often doing the exact same thing. They just don't have the same language to describe it. But ultimately, it's all about the pursuit of happiness, of pleasure, of greater well-being. Now, the folks who are advocating for psychedelics know how the American psyche thinks about heroin and crack. So they've worked really hard to separate themselves and these drugs from those people and those drugs. Because the image that is conjured up in your mind about the average heroin user is not desirable. And we saw Mark doing this last night on the show.
he's right about image, but there are fundamental differences between different drugs and the effect that they have on people. Otherwise, we'd only have one drug.
Well, that much is true, but he's talking about the reasons why people use them and how good they are at communicating that. 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live.
Want to accept Bitcoin at your online store? There's a good chance you already have what you need, a WordPress using WooCommerce and a Bitcoin address. Now all you need to start taking Bitcoin payments on your website is the AnyPay app on your Android or iPhone. Just paste your Bitcoin address into AnyPay, then connect it to your website with our one-click plugin for WordPress. Now your website takes Bitcoin. Start to finish in 15 minutes or less with no complicated steps. Download AnyPay from the App Store today.
Tired of cancel culture? Sick of mega tech corporations holding an axe over your head? Join the LRN.fm Matrix chat server. It's self-hosted, so no one else can tell us what to do or say. Don't like the existing channels? You can make your own. You can even connect into some of our channels from other Matrix servers. It's federated. For the full LRN.fm Matrix experience, though, you should join our server via the step-by-step instructions at chat.lrn.fm. chat.lrn.fm.
Do you feel like your nation, state, or community no longer holds your values? Have you dreamt of a place where people agree that liberty is important and are free to pursue their projects so long as they respect the property of others? There are many people just like you that are discovering FreePrivateCities.com. Their social media links are at the upper right of the page at FreePrivateCities.com. All skill levels will be needed when the first of the Free Private Cities opens. It's sooner than you think. Stop arguing and build. FreePrivateCities.com.
Having taken her father's throne, Sarah Calhoun has fallen out with one of her best allies, and her brother Nathaniel heads into Imperial Philadelphia with a reckless plan. Her uncle Thomas, armed with new powers and new allies, aims to remove Sarah from her throne and from the world of the living. To survive and to gain the strength she needs to fight an impossible war, Sarah must unite the Mound Builder Kings to enact an ancient rite that will propel her beyond mortality. Servant Daughter by T.J. Butler is the newest entry in the Dragon Award-winning Witchy War series from Bane Books at BaneBooks.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Telegram. You can follow our channel there and discuss show prep with other listeners at telegram.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live, and you're invited if you want to join us here. We're talking about drugs and misunderstandings, misconceptions surrounding their use and abuse, because those two are not the same thing. 603-283-6160. It's Ian, Nobody, and Chris in the studio here tonight. Also, Free Talk Live is brought to you by Bitcoin.com. So if you're ready to get into the world of cryptocurrency, get started over at Bitcoin.com. Just hit the Get Started button there at the top of the page, and you'll be presented with a series of videos that you can watch. And if you only have time for the first one, then that's a good place to start. And it only takes a few minutes. So go to Bitcoin.com to do that and click Get Started. Also at Bitcoin.com, they've got the news site over at news.bitcoin.com that will give you the latest news headlines in the world of cryptocurrency. So again, that's news.bitcoin.com. We're going to get back into the interview with Dr. Carl Hart. He's a neuroscientist, he's a professor, and he's also a drug user, and he admits it. And part of the reason he's doing that is to demystify the drug use, to make it so people who believe that drug users are all a bunch of strung out losers are countered, that misinformation, the mythology of that is being countered. And I think that's an important thing to have professionals come out and admit their preferences when it comes to altering their states of consciousness. So we'll continue with the interview with him here in just a moment. But first, let's go to the phones to your calls and thoughts. Scott is on the line. Scott the Bigot in Florida. You're on Free Talk Live.
Good evening, Ian, Nobody, and Chris. I need your help tonight and your listeners' help tonight. I got big trouble. Trouble came to my door. I went to my mailbox yesterday, and I not that I got to admit I was expecting it. I got a letter from the IRS, and this is what it says. We recently contacted you about your past due 2019 taxes. You must pay your balance immediately. You must pay by March 11th, 2021 to stop further penalties and interest. Now listen to this sentence. If you don't act now, the IRS may consider levying, seizing your income or bank account. So I have trouble. I spoke to my money manager, and this was his words. I really don't want to pay these bastards, but this is what my money manager said. He said, Scott, if you don't pay it, they're gonna like water at a tap. They're gonna shut off your credit. You won't be able to use an ATM. Go to Publix, buy groceries. You'll end up living like a wino under a bridge. So if you were in my shoes, Ian, I need advice. I hate the U.S. government, especially the IRS. What recommendation could you give me to handle these bastards? How would you handle it?
I'll give you an answer to that. Basically, if you're in bad straits with the IRS and with the banking system, basically with Wall Street, then what you want to do is you want to make your living under the table. Then they can't garnish it. You want to pay someone you know to rent a place in cash, or arrange to form a corporation, buy a house, and lease it to yourself without anybody knowing that you own that corporation.
There are all sorts of
things you can do. And being around people who are willing to play it fast and loose is a big help.
What kind of money are we talking about here?
Well, you asked me, so I'll be frank with you. The amount past due was $369,749.42.
Good Lord.
Okay, so you mentioned you've got
you make a pretty good living, I'm inferring from that.
Yeah.
It's just a really, really old thing.
It's like amputating a hand or a leg. It's very painful.
Yeah,
especially the government that I hate.
Right. Look, I think that you and I, we've got different beliefs, and we disagree on a lot of stuff. But as far as your own personal finances are concerned, and your own personal freedom, I think that everybody deserves freedom. So I think that, what I would suggest here is, I also agree with Nobody, is that, if you want to be off of their radar, you're going to have to, get as much of your assets off of their radar as possible. You mentioned you have like a financial manager of some sort. This person handles your investments.
Yeah, I work with them. Yeah.
Okay.
And
what do you do?
I made some money on some stocks, and, I invested well. But let me ask you a fast question. Does the IRS, can they literally knock on your door and just put you in handcuffs?
I can't give you legal advice. I don't know what they can and can't do.
That's a lawyer question, man.
Yeah, I can't give you legal advice. I would suggest that you hire an attorney, number one. But number two, if you want them to not be able to touch your assets, then you're going to have to get them out of your name. And so... I don't know how much you have invested in stocks or whatever, and I don't know how easy they can go. Is it as easy for them to garnish stocks as it is for them to take money out of a bank account? I'm going to guess it's probably almost as easy for them, but I don't know. I know that if the IRS shows up at your bank with a letter, the bank's just going to hand it all over.
I think it depends on whether you actually bought the stock OTC or whether you have... whether you bought it through a brokerage account, because if it's through a brokerage account, they're probably holding it for you, and they will.
Yeah, but can't they just go to the brokerage account for?
They would be just the brokerage would be just as happy as the bank to hand it over.
That's why what I would suggest here is if you really are wanting to change how you if you're willing to change how you sort of approach things in your life with your money, then nobody's suggestion here is a pretty good one. And I'm surprised you didn't suggest to him, nobody, that he might want to consider converting whatever dollar-level assets he has into cryptocurrencies.
Yeah, that would definitely be part of it. You've got to get your assets off the books, but you can't be obviously doing that. It's a good idea not to obviously be...
it's time to take a boating trip.
Well, yeah. Well, whether it's obvious or not, I don't think really matters at this point. He's already into them for, according to them, over $300,000. So if he just goes and buys a bunch of cryptocurrency and then loses it in a boating trip, well, then there's nothing that, can be done about that.
Yeah, they can try and throw you in jail still.
They can certainly try and throw you in jail.
I want to ask you a question. I want you to reiterate that story you discussed a few weeks ago. I thought about it last night, really, 2 in the morning. I was thinking about what you said. There was a restaurant owner that he didn't pay his money, and the government just went and wiped out his account. Is that
you're thinking of the gym owners? There were a couple owners in the Attilis Gym in Belmar, New Jersey. They had their bank account cleaned out of about $165,000 or $170,000, basically every dollar they had to their name, everything they'd raised in their fundraisers, all gone. And it was in that case the state of New Jersey that actually did the stealing, not the IRS. So it can also be the
same. I owe money also to Massachusetts gentlemen, and I don't want to pay them either, but my broker team told me if you don't pay the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, they have the authority like the federal government. They can just come and garnish whatever you want. So it seems I'm screwed.
They cannot garnish your cryptocurrency unless you hold your cryptocurrency with a central authority like Coinbase.
You know what I would probably do if I was in your position? I would probably, I would figure out how much do you owe versus how much you actually have in terms of, worth, and then invest that money in businesses, small businesses, because it's going to be a heck of a lot harder for them to seize a small business that's going to go under if they were to try and seize it from you.
Well, just also, people don't have to know where you're invested.
Right, exactly, and then they don't know where you invested it, too.
I want to just say one thing. I don't look at this as tax money. I look at this as extortion.
Oh, absolutely, and it's going to do things like that. Bombing peaceful people in the Middle East. By the way, there's more bombs.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Power grid failures and natural disasters, they happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. President Biden spending much of his Friday in the Lone Star State, the president speaking at a mass coronavirus vaccination center in Texas. Before that, he stopped at an emergency operations center and then a food bank in Houston. The area is facing critical food shortages due to the freezing weather and widespread power outages. The Pentagon is establishing an independent review commission to examine sexual assault in the military.
This effort, this commission, is dedicated to those service members who've suffered from sexual assault.
Lynn Rosenthal is leading the commission and will have 90 days to review military policies and procedures and then recommend changes. Rosenthal had previously served as a White House advisor on violence against women in former President Obama's administration. This is USA Radio News. CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, is continuing in Orlando. Missouri Republican Senator Josh Hawley on cancel culture.
Speaking of being canceled, the last 6 weeks, the radical left, their corporate allies, the liberal media, have tried to cancel me, censor me, expel me, shut me down, stop me from representing the people of Missouri, stop me from representing you, and guess what? I'm here today, I'm not going anywhere, and I'm not backing down. Not a chance. Not a chance.
California is allowing some illegal immigrants to apply for stimulus money. Those eligible for financial relief must have paid state income taxes by filing returns with individual taxpayer identification numbers. Applicants with incomes below $30,000 may qualify for $1,200. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live, and the phone number, if you want to join us, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Whether you want to talk about protecting your assets from confiscation by criminal enterprises like the IRS, the federal government, state governments, or you want to comment on drug legalization or the ending of prohibition, just kind of trying to defeat some of the mythology, the bad information out there about drugs and drug users. We're going to do all those things here tonight. You can, of course, join us as well. With you in the studio, you've got Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris. So, did you guys have any further comments regarding what Scott the Bigot had brought up? Because, you know, regardless of his bigoted views, you know, he's on the right side on the issue of not wanting to pay a criminal enterprise known as the federal government. We were talking about cryptocurrency as an option. Chris, you were talking about, is it investments in businesses?
Yeah, I mean, the reality is you need to keep it out of things that the IRS knows about and
can just snatch.
But also the other issue is that the IRS is going to start, and they're probably going to investigate deeper if they realize that you've taken out all this money from stocks. They're going to be like, where is it? What happened to it, right? So you might have an issue. Now, maybe if you, I don't know, buy some gold, you know, some percentage of it, the rest of it can disappear, right? Because you've got to give them something, right? So that might be one way to do it. But if they raid your house, and they and you have paperwork on the businesses and contracts, mm-hmm. well, then they're going to know that you have those businesses and contracts, and you could end up in, you know, trouble. But on the other hand, if they find gold and that's it, well, you know, the rest of the money could have just, you know, gone. You know, it's the PRBC spent it.
Not being where they expect to find you is also a good option in that case.
Yeah. I mean, you want to try, you probably want to try and avoid any kind of paper trails that would give them evidence to use against you in a court of law. Because at the end of the day, you know, there's a line that you're going to cross that's going to become criminal. And then there's, you know, the line where they don't actually have any evidence that you've done anything knowingly or otherwise necessarily.
And I don't think failure to pay can actually become criminal.
If you intentionally, if you've intentionally not paid them, it can be criminal.
Really? I didn't think it.
Yeah.
Isn't that why they put Larkin Rose in jail?
I don't know. I know that they charged Edna-Lane Brown with tax fraud.
Hmm. Yeah, it's probably going to be something like tax fraud if you don't pay them.
Well, the thing is, failure to pay is not the same as fraud.
Right, right. Failure to pay is not a crime if you didn't intentionally, like, do it. But if you intentionally didn't pay the tax and it wasn't, like, a tax avoidance thing, because tax avoidance is legal, or tax minimization. That's not illegal. It's if you intentionally, like, tell the IRS you made no money and you actually did make money.
Yeah, and
that would
that's
be fraud, probably.
I think that's the problem that Edna-Lane Brown got into, is they sent in a form with nothing but zeros on it.
Yeah, I mean, you don't...
Wesley Snipes did the
same
thing.
And then signed it, which is under penalty of perjury.
Right, which is, that's when it becomes fraud, because fraud has to have
a felony if it's a perjury.
Yeah.
If you pay your taxes and you sign something and you just don't pay the right amount, but you didn't knowingly... not report it, that's not a criminal offense, as I understand it legally, but I'm not a lawyer, so, you know, get your own legal advice.
Well, usually the language is like, to the best of your ability, or to the best of your understanding.
And that's why it's not a crime. It doesn't mean you won't have to pay it back. You'll still have to pay it back, but it's not a crime.
Well, the one thing that Scott definitely doesn't have going for him is the fact that he hates so many people. So if he was hoping to actually find a support network of people who are willing to help rent a house to him or something like that, he only likes white Protestant men. So that's going to narrow down the number of options that he has as far as being willing to, like, you know, find somebody who's willing to rent him a cash house or something like that. So maybe he should reconsider being a bigot, and that would actually open up his you know, range of opportunities.
Or at least
maybe
don't
he needs
go.
To walk the earth like Kwai Chang Kain and find ways to put rest to his demons.
Find some peace.
You know, the crazy thing is, you don't have to stop being a bigot. You just have to stop being a bigot openly to other people.
Well, you should stop being a bigot.
I'm not saying you shouldn't, but you don't even have to stop being a bigot. You just have to stop, you know, running your mouth.
So, back to the drugs story from Vox.com, interviewing Carl Hart, the neuroscientist and psychology professor over at Columbia University, the author of the new book, For Drug Use for Grown-Ups, Chasing Liberty in the Land of Fear. So, the interviewer asks him, most people don't get addicted to drugs, probably far fewer than most of us realize, but it's still true that lots of people do get addicted, right? Do you think that's just something we should accept as the price of a free society? I mean, your own research suggests that 10 to 30% of people who use drugs become addicted. Even if we take the low end of that estimate, it's not insignificant. Carl Hart says something like 40,000 Americans die every year in car accidents, and that's been true for 30 years or so. Nobody's talking about banning cars. Instead, what we do is we try to implement safety procedures or safeguards such that we decrease the likelihood of that happening. We put in speed limits, we make people wear seatbelts, etc. We do our best to make it as safe as possible. Why would we behave any differently when it comes to drugs? Does anyone even ask if drugs are uniquely more dangerous than, say, driving a car? Because the evidence is that they're not. And that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, and the government doesn't just fail to go out of its way to make things safer for drug users, which I don't think they should do.
I agree.
But they go out of their way to make things more dangerous.
That's right.
Okay. And that they could stop doing.
Well, the entire war on drugs makes them more dangerous.
Exactly. Exactly. The war on drugs is, I mean, I would be shocked if without the war on drugs, if 10% of the number of people who die now died.
I agree. In fact, it would be interesting to look at Portugal and see, because I know that the numbers went down. The number of drug addicted people in Portugal went down almost immediately after they had decriminalization of personal amounts of drugs. So I suspect that continued to go down and stay down.
Yeah, and that the nice thing about his theory is the theory that he's operating under is it actually explains things like Portugal, whereas the old theory under which the drug war was conceived, the assumptions under which they operated were that what happened in Portugal would not happen.
You know what I would say about this issue is I can accept other people being addicted. However, I won't accept myself being addicted. And basically the lesson here is if you're addicted, you know, take responsibility for yourself and wean yourself off of the drug. Go and seek help.
Indeed. And if it were decriminalized or legal, not prohibited, then more people would go and seek
absolutely
help. And that's what we saw
right
happening in Portugal. But Carl Hart continues. He says, I'm not saying that people are not going to get in trouble. Anything worth doing in life is not without risks. I don't want anyone telling me what risks I can take and what risks I can't, so long as I'm not hurting other people. It's really that simple. And he comes back to that a lot, of the not hurting other people. So I wonder if this guy would describe himself as libertarian. Sean Illing asks, says, just looking at the data we have, it seems driving a car is less dangerous than using opioids, since way more people drive cars than use opioids, and still thousands more die from opioids. Carl Hart responds by saying, I don't know how you came to that conclusion, given that neither you nor I know how many people die from opioids. Knowing that a person that had an opioid in their body at the time of their death doesn't tell you that the opioid caused the death. Kind of like with COVID, where we're seeing a bunch of deaths, quote-unquote, associated with COVID, but it doesn't necessarily mean they died of COVID. This is particularly relevant, says Carl Hart, in the light of the fact that the majority of drug overdose victims have multiple drugs in their system. In addition, a substantial proportion of these individuals ingested tainted drugs, because, again, black markets lead to drugs that aren't what they advertise themselves to be.
Yep.
The point is, he says, we still have a responsibility to try to enhance the safety of these activities. Banning an activity merely pushes it into the shadows, where the risks will undoubtedly increase. The number, if you want to join us and comment on drug use and abuse, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Dr. Carl Hart, the author of this new book that sounds like it would be very good, Drug Use for Grown-Ups, Chasing Liberty in the Land of Fear. We got more coming up. Your calls and thoughts, welcome.
Power grid failures and natural disasters. They happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Attention radio listeners. If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-the-grid electricity, pay close attention. Here's why. A limited number of solar backup generators are now back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently in your own home. So whether it's dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. And the best news, this week only, listeners purchasing a solar generator will receive hundreds of dollars in free off-the-grid bonuses. So go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Again, supplies are extremely limited, so go to mysolarbackup.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system. And it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. Open phones if you want to join us here. You don't have to call about drug use. And abuse, the mythology of it. We're deconstructing some of that stuff here tonight with the help of an interview with Dr. Carl Hart, the author of the new book, Drug Use for Grown-Ups, Chasing Liberty in the Land of Fear. And we'll continue with that here in just a moment. So we're reading an interview from Box.com. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris. And don't forget, you can join us online over at freetalklive.com. We've got a chat system. It's called Matrix. It is a open source, self-hosted chat server, and we've been running one now for, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 months, something like that. It's been a good chunk of time, and it's going very well. In fact, our main chat room on there, the on-air now room's got over 175 people who have joined that room. Now, whether they're all in there at one time or not is another question, but it seems like it's active almost all the time, almost 24 hours a day. You're going to find people in there. So check out chat.freetalklive.com. There are step-by-step instructions there on how to get involved in that chat server, and there's multiple rooms in which you can interact with other people. You can even create your own rooms and administer them completely, public or private. It is up to you. So hop on over to chat.freetalklive.com to learn more.
Waiting for somebody to set up a floating poker game in one of those rooms.
Okay. I don't know how you do that in text chat, but I guess you could.
You'd do it with a bot.
Oh, a poker. Now, is there a bot that somebody's written for that or not yet?
I don't know, but okay. it would be a good bot. I have I have asked the bot master to write a wallet.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. We'll have to talk about that
tipping each other
another time. So, yeah, it'd be great to have a tip bot for the you mean specifically for the Matrix?
Actually, for Telegram at first, the same 90% of the work would be done then in terms of adding the ability to talk to the Matrix would be pretty easy after doing
that. That'd be sweet. So check it out at chat.freetalklive.com. We're talking about, again, drug use here, and Carl Hart, the doctor, the author, Drug Use for Grownups, He is being interviewed by Sean Illing over at Vox.com. Illing writes, I'm thinking about this in the context of the opioid crisis, which you say has been covered terribly by most media outlets. Actually, before I say more, can you tell me why you object so strongly to the way the opioid story has been covered? Carl Hart says, it's a fact that Americans have lost their lives as a result of opioids, but when you look at the numbers, you start to realize that the likelihood of dying from the use of opioids alone is extremely low. So,
especially if you don't choose to do them.
Indeed. So why are people dying? They're dying because they're often taking multiple drugs. They're mixing opioids with other sedatives, which is incredibly dangerous. So the cause of death isn't opioids in these cases, but that's how it often gets reported. The focus is on...
I got to quibble with them there in that from what I've seen, it's mostly people who got fentanyl.
Mm-hmm.
Or people who, ironically enough, people who quit for a while and then went back to it.
Now,
that's the other thing. Like, people will get out of prison mm-hmm. and die of an overdose right away because, you know, just like, you know, I'll get myself stoned into unconsciousness sometimes when I'm just intending to put a little buzz on because I used to smoke so much that now the amount that it takes to be enjoyable for me is much less than I expect it to be.
So is prison weed less dangerous than weed on
the
outside?
Weed is not dangerous in any way, shape, or form unless a bale of it falls on your head.
Well, you get the idea.
Danger, there's different kinds of danger. I would say in prison you're probably likely to get lower quality, and more likely because of the way it comes in to catch a nasty disease off using a needle that's been in somebody's suitcase.
Now, when you say fentanyl is what these heroin users have gotten, are they getting heroin that's laced with fentanyl, or are they just getting straight fentanyl? What is happening there?
What was happening there were dealers who could get fentanyl cheaply,
mm-hmm.
so they were diluting the
cutting
fentanyl, and they were thinking that was going to prevent people from dying when they took it because, you know, the dosage of fentanyl is physically much smaller. The problem is that different drugs affect different people different ways. So there's no number that you can say this amount of fentanyl is equivalent to this amount of heroin for everybody. Each person is going to have different reactions, and especially if you're taking multiples of what people normally take, the action of drugs does not necessarily grow linearly.
But here's the thing. You're citing stories of people that you've heard of personally, right? You're citing just case studies, essentially. Carl Hart is saying when you look at the numbers on a wider perspective, you're going to find a lot of these people who they're chalking up as dying from opioids are doing other drugs at the same time. So they may be mixing opioids with other things, like he says here, antihistamines or alcohol or various other drugs. And these are not good combinations. So, you know, I presume he's looked at these numbers. He says when you look at the numbers, but he doesn't cite. He's just in an interview here. So this isn't actually his book. I'm guessing that if you actually look at the book, he probably has the citations to to back this up. But it wouldn't surprise me because a lot of the drug users I've known, they don't just stick to one drug.
That's generally true, although heroin addicts very rarely do anything else.
Well, that's what he's saying they do.
Because
he's saying they do.
They'll drink alcohol if they don't have heroin, but generally, I don't know. There are people who are cross-addicted like they do heroin and
that's what he's saying.
Cocaine.
There's a lot of those people are the ones that are dying.
So
that could be. Certainly a speedball is a very dangerous thing.
I thought with the fentanyl, the problem was that it was highly concentrated, which is why they're cutting it with other drugs.
That's what he says, yeah.
And the reason they're doing this is because it's cheap to get fentanyl because it's so concentrated, it's easier to transport, basically.
Yeah. But that problem has actually gone down a great deal because now people are just asking for fentanyl. And when they know what they're getting, it's not a problem.
He actually addresses fentanyl in the next paragraph. So he says, and another reason people are dying is because they're getting tainted drugs. This is probably the primary reason they're dying now from something like fentanyl, which is an extremely potent synthetic opioid used in legal settings to treat severe pain. But we could solve that problem so easily, just like they did in Spain, Austria, Switzerland, and the Netherlands. Just have drug-checking services that will allow people to understand the composition of their drug. All they have to do is submit anonymously small samples of their drugs, and they get a printout of what's contained in that substance and some education about each of the agents in that substance. That would take care of so much of this thing that we're calling a problem. I get parents who email me all the time.
And the ability to sue... The ability to sue all the way up the supply chain.
Well, you can't have that unless it's legal.
Difference. Exactly.
Yeah. Legalization was the key thing to cutting the problem.
And if it were legal, you wouldn't have altered substances.
It's not even about testing. It's about legalization. Because once it's legal, you don't even have to worry about these problems.
No, you don't have to test your aspirin.
That's right.
You don't have you can hold your whole supply chain accountable. Because
absolutely.
Every industry has mistakes in the supply chain. But only in the illegal industries can you not sue.
He says, I get parents who email me all the time after their kid has died, and they want to know about the toxicology. And I look at the reports in these cases that are classified as quote-unquote opiate or opioid deaths, and what I see time and again is various drugs in the system, some of which may be tainted, but the parents are told it's an opioid death. And look, it's horrible, just horrible, but the issue isn't opioids. It's tainted substances and mixing drugs and using drugs recklessly. And as you pointed out, ending prohibition, whether it's legalization or just ending prohibition, would solve 95% of these problems. And it would solve them within 3 weeks.
It's probably way higher than that.
Because, you know, you can get heroin for $13 a gram.
And on the black market?
On the dark web.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that would hold a junkie for a long time, a gram. That would be like, 3 to 5 days.
Okay.
So...
they can afford that with a job at McDonald's.
The thing is, a lot of times, the reason that addicts specifically will have strange drugs in their systems is they won't be able to get what they usually like, so they'll just take something random out of their mom's medicine cabinet, and then they score what they really wanted, and they've got these weird chemicals in their body, you know. So I think he is pretty much right on that.
We're gonna get into it further here. There's some more questions for Carl Hart. He's the doctor that wrote the book Drug Use for Grownups: Chasing Liberty in the Land of Fear. And of course, you're welcome to weigh in here. Maybe you've got personal experience with drug use and you want to talk about the reality of it. You can join us 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Hour 2 is next. This is Free Talk Live.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the health stocks boom in the U.S. markets. With the pandemic affecting virtually every aspect of American life, people are ready to get past the crisis and get on with living. We've identified a company that could scale up widespread rapid testing and get our economy back on track sooner rather than later. And we want to introduce you to this groundbreaking company with your free subscription to Avid Stock News Trends. Text the word
word test to 48542 to get info on this undervalued rapid testing technology that can deliver results in as little as 15 minutes. Demand for testing devices could outstrip supply for the foreseeable future. Text the word test to 48542 to get your free subscription to Avid Stock News Trends. Get this red-hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. Avid Stock News Trends. Text the word test to 48542. Text test to 48542.